This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
We are at Chill in Louisville here, just off of 35. Come on up and say hi, pick up a Tolo back window decal, and fellowship. Enjoy 5 hours of broadcasting coming up here on your home of the Cowboys, home of the Rangers. We do have Rangers news, Cowboys news as well. Mavs are off again tonight. They'll be visiting the Pistons tomorrow. Is that correct?
In Mexico. It's a home game for the Mavericks. So okay. They only get 40 home games this year. This is considered a home game.
Mark gave up money.
Let's grow that brand down there. You know,
I do think for the Mavericks situation, that is smart. I get the Cowboys that they say, hey, we'd love to go down to Mexico or go to London or whatever and improve our brand even more. But we're not giving up one of our eight because we are the franchise in all of sports when it comes to that. But I think for the Mavericks to look at it and go, man, if we go to Mexico and we can start getting a few more fans here and there, I get why he would give up one home game for it.
I mean, that matters, right?
Yeah.
If there were English soccer teams coming over here on regularly and playing games, I bet the fan base here in DFW would explode. European teams, Spain, Mexico, wherever you visit, you make an impression on those kids who come and see you.
I wonder this too. I wonder if it's intentional that it's the Detroit Pistons, as in this. If I said, hey, I want to go down to Mexico and I'll give up a home game, and they're like, all right, you're playing the Houston Rockets or San Antonio Spurs. They'd be like, no, they're going to
– Yeah.
They're close to Mexico too. Like, that could end up being their team.
And the Lakers.
Right. We want to bring a team that we know will not really be followed at all, the team we bring down here, that we will be the draw in Mexico.
I love it. That's a good play by the Mavs. But, there hasn't been a ton of Cowboys stuff developing since we last went, off the air. A ton of Urban Meyer discussion really nationally. And, we'll be talking about the next possible coach for the Cowboys for days and weeks and probably a couple of months. So there's plenty of time to talk about it. I mean, but Urban Meyer is the name with the most smoke around it right now. And it's very clear by what Jerry Jones said yesterday. He is highly interested in having some very serious discussions about what that could look like. Here's a guy that won at four different programs. As time has gone on and people have brought up more and more stuff, to me, that's the most relevant right there. He's gone to so many different places. You can catch lightning in a bottle once. You'll have to get really, really lucky, but you could do it at two different spots and not be that great of a coach. You go to four?
You know what I wonder, too, is obviously if he's hired, Ezekiel Elliott will be the first guy in the locker room talking to his teammates going, this is it, man. He is awesome, and we're going to love this, and he's a champion. I got to play on championship teams or contenders, one championship team with them. Is if you hired a guy like Matt Rhule, who seems to be great at Baylor, I wonder how much those guys respect Matt Rhule. How many guys know who Matt Rhule is? They weren't really recruited by Matt Rhule if they were a premium you know what I'm saying? So I think when Urban Meyer comes in there, for the guys that have been 5 years in the league or less, I bet a lot of them like, man, Urban Meyer, I really wanted to play for him, and now you are getting to play for him. So I wonder if he would command the room more. Not saying he'd be a better coach than Matt Rhule if you're a Baylor fan. I'm just saying when Matt Rhule walks in there, I wonder if the players are like, all right, what's up, college coach? And Urban walks in there like, what's up, Hall of Fame college coach?
I think that's a great point. I mean, Urban Meyer is a legend, and many of those kids probably those guys when they were kids grew up, looking at him on TV tons of times. So I think that matters in a situation like this when you're trying to take a team that's already there, maybe got a little bit unfocused, and make the best of them now.
So I'll add on to that in 2 seconds. I was surprised Cuban would give up money, so I looked it up. Detroit's the home team. So Cuban didn't give up a home game.
Really?
Cuban ain't giving up dollars. Somebody texted that in, and I double-checked it. It looks like the Pistons are the home team. The other thing about Urban Meyer is that he's
employed. You're still going there.
Yeah. You're still going.
You get to keep all your home games, and you're going to be the biggest draw.
Yeah.
I like it.
You win all the way around. You're the, quote, road team. You get to make all your money, and you're going to a team where you're the home team, even though you're not the home team. The other thing about Meyer is that he's unemployed. I mean, not unemployed. He's an analyst.
Right.
But if you're looking for somebody who's willing to come in and talk to Jerry Jones and, all right, how's this going to work? You think this is going to work? It probably helps that the guy currently isn't sitting in a cushy head coaching job already.
Yeah.
Like, it's a tougher sell to somebody like Lincoln Riley, who every offseason, you know what is going to happen to Lincoln Riley this offseason? He'll get a raise. He got a raise last year, and he'll get a raise this year. Because every year that you do well and people are interested, they're like, why don't we just give you a whole bunch more money? And you go, oh, okay. But as a, I believe Urban's on Fox, right? As a Fox analyst,
yes,
I don't think they're going to be like, oh, teams are interested in you. Here's $8 million a year to be an analyst. So that may work in the Cowboys' favor.
Okay, you know what else I think kind of works here is you have a roster in its prime, maybe getting towards past its prime in some spots, but how long is Urban Meyer going to be around at his next job? 2-3 years? So
until he feels like they can't win the ultimate championship, and then health-wise he's going to really deteriorate.
So if you're considering everything that goes into this job, you don't have to make it work for a long time, just a good time. And really quickly, hopefully.
Yeah.
Whoop everything together. Okay, the other big Cowboy story going on right now, I mean, Troy Aikman just continues to be relentless in his attack of the Cowboys.
Can you believe that guy?
He works for Fox. I wouldn't be surprised if he's getting to a point where his bosses are going to be like, okay, now you're really going after. And he's not going to care. He's not going to give a
crap. He's not going to stop.
But, I mean, it has been relentless now. This is like the third or fourth wave of Troy Aikman really going after, you know, the way things are done with the Cowboys.
I guess he keeps getting asked questions about it, and he's just giving his honest thoughts and opinion on it. And look, I piled on Jerry today on Twitter, and look, Troy was there for it. Troy saw it happen. He saw greatness turn into crudness, and he saw the man who was in charge of doing it. So what he's doing for some of the Cowboy fans, I mean, look, I get it. There are tons of Cowboy fans out there that are just mothers and fathers. Actually, not of the players. They just want to cheer for the Cowboys like that's their sons on the football team. And no matter what, they're the greatest thing ever. And don't ever talk bad about my son on the Dallas Cowboys. And Troy was there. Troy's not coming from some random opinion or maybe like we've...
He watched the transition from Jimmy...
he saw Jerry do this.
...to what it's been since. And I do think there's a lot of fans out there, and it's not a disrespect, it's just a generational thing. I was the same way when I was growing up. You talk about guys in the 60s, and I'd be like, well, what do they know? It was a completely different world. The world was pretty much the same before you were born. I know it seems like the olden days in your 26-year-old mind or whatever it is right now, Troy Aikman lived it. He knows what the hell is going on, and the conditions are pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, and what he's saying in there, if you didn't hear it or read it, is he's saying, look, specifically, if the coach isn't the man that the players have to answer to, then you're going to have a major problem being a winning organization. And Jerry, make sure that the coach, the head coach, is never the man in this organization. Maybe it was with Bill Parcells because he wasn't here for that. But he was here for Jimmy, and he says, look, Jimmy was the person that we had to answer to. And then we didn't have to answer to Barry. We didn't have to answer to Chan Gailey. We didn't have to answer to Dave Campo. We had to answer to Jerry Jones, and Jerry really doesn't care to be that hard on the players. So it became the players' room, and the players knew that they didn't really have to work that hard because Jerry always had their back.
Okay, so that's a big one right there. I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit later on in Cowboys Twitter. But the other one is the story coming out from Jalen Smith, who, you know, was a target of a lot of criticism following the loss to Chicago. There was the one play where he was dancing when the guy had a major knee injury, and he said, look, I didn't see that guy, and I believe him. He said, you know,
I do too.
But then later on in the game, you're down, I don't know what it was, 17 points or something, and he's doing the swipe and everything, and he's come out and said, you know, that's my trademark. So then the topic goes.
He's branding.
Yeah,
down 17, make a tackle for loss, do some branding.
Does that bother fans? How much does that bother you? You can text in.
Honestly, it annoys me.
Yeah, it might be a little generational as well. I think there is a time and a place for celebrations and a time and a place for saying, like in soccer, when you score and you're down 2-0, you get to 2-1, you pick the ball out of the net and you run it back to half field and you put it down on the ground and you get back to your position and say, okay, kick it off because we need to get another goal, right?
Yeah.
So it's all about – that doesn't matter. It's 2-1. We're still down a goal.
Right.
You know, maybe I'll go home and my kids will give me a high five about it or something, but there's no reason to celebrate right now.
I love that analogy because – I don't mind if Jalen celebrates. Time and place. if we're down by 17 to 20 points, what's the point of celebrating because you individually finally made a play in this game? Now, look, if we're down by 7 and you guys get a big third down stop, I don't even care if you can celebrate and do the swipe even if you didn't make the tackle. If it ended up being DeMarcus Lawrence who made the tackle and you run by him and you do the swipe, like, yeah, way to go, because I'm celebrating my team. Here's the problem with the Dallas Cowboys. They don't celebrate the team. They're celebrating themselves. We're always celebrating ourselves now on the Dallas Cowboys. Instead of celebrating, I want to sacrifice for the team so we can be great. And through that greatness as a team, I'll celebrate. But we're trying to all individually celebrate. I want to get mine and make my play so I can have my money and brand myself and have my celebration.
Yeah, maybe that's the downside of telling the players, hey, if you take a little bit of a discount, you can build your brand.
Right.
Now that guy's out there like, well,
yeah,
you know, I did sacrifice financially for the team, but I do need to do this thing right here to, you know, kind of make up for it.
I think
it kind of works against the player, don't it? Because that's not the good kind of branding. That's the kind of branding that makes people go, well, you know, I don't know if I want to be that's kind of weird.
It makes you look selfish. An individual. And it is what it is. I mean, we've seen guys score. You know, they're down by 24. They score a touchdown. It's their time to celebrate their touchdown. It's not like a lot of guys score a lot of touchdowns. You know, some guys do score 10 or so in a season, but most guys don't. So I'm not going to crush too much. Do your thing. Brand yourself. Get more commercials. I mean, for your family and everything, that's the right move. For a fan watching the game or for some of your teammates, they probably, most fans and maybe a few teammates, look at it and go, dude, let's go. Let's get back in the huddle. We finally made a play on this, and you were the one that ended up making the tackle. But I don't know if we should be celebrating getting embarrassed on national TV for the third straight week.
It just looks kind of out of place, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't make the fans go, oh, that's my guy right there doing the swipe. It's like, oh, geez, dude, really?
Yeah.
You know, you want to kind of be celebrating with the fans. I get it. You know, I don't know if it's the biggest problem in the world, but
no,
I do.
You're right. It's not the biggest problem at all here.
I do think it kind of moves that picture kind of a little bit more into the frame. Like, where is the focus, and is there a lack of focus that's contributing to, you know, some playing issues? Okay. The big Giants news. This is really interesting. How much the world has changed since we were kids. Cornerback Janoris Jenkins tweeting a disparaging remark in response to a critical fan Wednesday. He was at practice, and the team was practicing, and he tweeted, I can only do my job, and then he called him the R word, you know, the six-letter R word, retard, you know.
Oh.
Very, very prevalent.
To a media person?
No, just to a fan on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
So now Pat Shurmur's getting asked about this, and the team's having to address this, because that has shifted from sort of a PG-13 insult when we were growing up, because we were totally ignorant about how offensive it was.
Right.
To now it's you know, it's become aware that it's really something you don't want to. And I, you know, kids these days don't even say it.
Right.
But Janoris Jenkins, a little bit of an older guy, and, you know, obviously.
And I haven't been in the clubhouse in a long time, so I just don't know what is said. I know that we said a whole bunch of things still politically incorrect 10, 15 years ago that were, now look, that word wasn't that big of a deal 10 to 15 years ago, you know, and now it is a big deal, but I mean, we would call people, we would use gay terms, and it would be okay
totally
using
acceptable.
A whole bunch
yeah.
of different
in
things.
The halls of businesses, it was acceptable. It was
so
crazy. Yeah.
You know, like somebody's on the mound, and I wanted to yell at him from the dugout and call him, like, didn't Kobe do this one time, and he got in trouble?
I think he was a ref.
Yeah, because, like, yeah. But
yeah.
I mean,
and
like,
that was the end of it. I think, like, 2011 was about the end of it when Kobe got busted for it. That's kind of when the world shifted.
But I just don't know, like, now when you're inside a locker room / clubhouse and there's no cameras in there, do guys still goof off with each other and call them – you know, guys, that, like, goofing
it's
off.
Horrible, yeah.
But I don't know. I have no clue if that still happens.
Well, I'm glad we're at a point now where the world goes, hey, you know, we got to call a 20-second timeout here on you and, you know, make sure that everybody's aware that that's not the thing to be doing.
We need Harry Spillman in the Cowboys locker room. He was my manager in my rookie year.
How would that go?
Oh, man, he would use the C word for a woman's part all the time. Like, just
now, that was still okay, right? Like, I could
think
just
so.
Use that
I think that's okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, Harry, yeah, well, maybe. But Harry Spillman, like, we need somebody in there to just start yelling that word and calling all those guys that word and see if that wakes them up.
Well, Rangers have a new center field prospect, Steele Walker, a Texan, an OU star.
Also Prosper, I believe.
Yeah, Prosper.
Prosper High School.
Of course, starred up there as well. I think the haul just kind of reflects that Nomar Mazara wasn't worth very much, right? And it was kind of disappointing that it didn't ever pop for him.
He's a platoon outfielder who can't run and isn't a good fielder, right? So he's a guy who can hit right-handed pitching and survive playing a corner outfield spot.
Yeah, and you hope that in the next year or two, as he maybe develops a little bit more in the minor leagues, that he can become better.
Oh, I was talking about Mazara. Why you got one minor leaguer back for him that's not even like a no-doubt prospect for a 24-year-old is because the world knows what Nomar is, and they were like, this is what you can have to get rid of your logjam.
I think it just, for Ranger fans that are mad that that's all you got for Nomar Mazara, that's what the world told John Daniels. I'm not giving John Daniels a pass here. Maybe he should have moved him earlier when he had more value a couple years ago. But right now, today, they went to all 29 general managers and said, does anybody have interest in Nomar Mazara? And they didn't find much, and then the most they found was a person that's considered an okay prospect in an organization that at best becomes maybe a starting outfielder in the major leagues.
I think the bigger news for the Rangers might be just that the team to the south, you know, their dynasty has some cracks in it, and we'll see how they develop and what they can bring onto the scene. But is the dynasty in jeopardy down there?
I'd say it's over. Like, they're not going to be in another World Series unless they make major trades. Look, they have time to make major trades, but I would say the Houston Astros' reign of being the team that Vegas says is a favorite to go to the World Series is over. I wonder if they're going to win 90 games next year. I think losing Gerrit Cole is huge. I think Verlander is going to get worse next year. I know that he had a big uptick when he went to the Houston Astros, but I think he's about to go down. I don't think they're going to have enough pitching to win the 95 to 100-something games.
We are live at Chill in Louisville, and we'll be here all the way until 7 o'clock tonight. Come on by for some delicious food and beverage. Man, it's always so good here. They take care of us so well. A tremendous wait staff as well. Mm-hmm. They'll serve you with a smile, okay? So come on by and tip them well. When we get back, it's time to go around the NBA and honor for Luka Doncic next in the Nation. Live at Chill in Louisville. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan, home of the Cowboys. And we're having a good time here, and we invite you to come by and fellowship with us. We have some Enter to Wins and some Tolo back window decals. Maybe a couple fan t-shirts. What do you say, a couple fan t-shirts? All right. Roger Staubach's going to be on the Cowboys Happy Hour tonight. Mickey Spagnola, Chris Arnold, chatting with Raj.
You know, the two greatest Cowboys of all time, quarterback-wise, are very opposite on how they present the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
I know Roger is going to be very pro-Cowboys.
Well, maybe that's part of the plan here to get Raj out front, because I know he's going to.
That is a good idea.
He's going to be with us, I think, this Friday at 2:10.
Oh, really?
Talking Army-Navy. Yeah, our buddy Jimmy booked Raj to come on our show. So he's going to be on the Fan a couple of times this week, including tonight at 7 o'clock with CA and Mickey.
So Michael Irvin finally ran out of positivity, and they were like, well, if he's gone, is there anyone left? And they're like, we got one. Can we get a hold of him?
I'm not saying he would be good at it, but do you think Michael Irvin would want to coach? Like, that would be very entertaining if Michael Irvin became the head coach of the Cowboys. I have no clue if he'd be good at it or not.
I think he'd try it, yeah.
I wonder about all the guys that played on the no salary cap Cowboys with the Herschel Walker trade. If they think they know the secrets, but they really don't.
Like he'd run the ball a whole bunch?
Well, no, like they would show up and they'd be like, well, okay, so let's get the players in here. And they're like, all right, we got $8 million and we need 4 starters. And they're like, well, crap. We were better than that. Why don't we get better players? Right. It's like, well, there are some constraints that we didn't used to have when we had you guys. It's a little different.
Can
now.
We trade Ezekiel Elliott for 7 draft picks?
Right.
Five of them in the first 2 rounds?
No, we can't. We can't, sir.
It'd be a Kingsbury type of hire. You know, Kingsbury's in charge of the quarterback and stay away from everything else. And
Mike's in charge of the motivation.
Yeah, and the wide receivers. Catching stuff. Wide receiver is very important.
I think Mike should be in charge of the offensive line. He has a great philosophy.
There you go. That would be awesome.
Stay in front of him for 3 seconds.
Well, he has coached high school, and he's coached a Pro Bowl, so I think he's interested in it.
Okay.
That'd be awesome.
Let's get to the good team, right?
Okay, let's go around the NBA here because we have an honor for Luka Doncic. Mavs and Pistons tomorrow night in Mexico City. The Mavs are 16-7. They're 4.5 games behind the first-place Lakers. Segment's brought to you by Dripping Springs Distilling, Classic Chevrolet, and by Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do it more. Fan listeners, do make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Okay, Sports Illustrated did their annual award to their Sportsman of the Year. Luka Doncic wins Breakout Star. Maybe just a matter of time before he wins the full-fledged Sportsman of the Year. That went to the women's soccer player, Megan Rapinoe.
I always say this. I was in 07. I was a finalist for that.
How?
Sportsman of the Year for giving up the home run.
Oh.
And they picked you and not Barry?
I think it was Brett Favre, yeah.
Why didn't they pick Barry? He broke the
because
record.
Because they were saying, because he was the cheater and I was the one who was, I mean, obviously, look, I'm not that gracious.
Who nominated you?
One of the writers for Sports Illustrated. So I was up. I was like one of like the 20 finalists for Sportsman of the Year in 07.
We can't give it to Barry, but we got to recognize it some way. Let's go Mikey B.
What about this guy? He clearly didn't use steroids. He's everything that's right in the game.
He's horrible. Can somebody give him an award?
Well, so salute to Luka Doncic.
That's awesome.
He has definitely arrived, made a huge impact to the point that people are already getting sick of him. You know, if you're not a big Luka fan, there is that element out there that's like, geez, Luka's not that great. That's what happens, you know. It's what happens. You become great, and you get some haters.
I wonder with some of the haters is, they're not watching Dallas Maverick games. I get it, right? They're watching the national games, and he did have an awesome national game against the Lakers.
Some might be, because, things that have started annoying me with the local sports teams, Jalen's celebration, Luka's crying.
Yeah.
Like, those things,
I'm with you.
And I love Luka. He's incredible.
I mean, he'll give up free baskets. He'll give up, on average, I'll say he'll give up 4 points a game, arguing with the ref, not caring to get back on defense or play defense. And that is irritating. And right now it's regular season. You'd hope come playoff time, and he's played in championship games overseas, is that he understands that you can't just give up free points come playoff time.
No, you can't. Hopefully he gets better at that. Yeah. I don't know what you do about the officials. It's a trouble spot for every superstar. Because the refs aren't going to give you the calls until you really ask for them and insist on them. And
they still, think of, most superstars, right? Harden complains.
Yeah.
LeBron complains.
It's part of the deal.
I don't want my guy to do it, but they all do it. Dirk did it.
I guess what we want you to do is just do it in a really professional and stoic way. Like, pardon me, ref, I don't want to blow up your spot over here or anything.
Right. I have something to tell you in the next official timeout. I got something for you.
Okay, the Smoking Cuban has some trade ideas. Let's get that in here around the NBA in a couple of minutes. We'll get G-Bag of the Day. They remind us, hey, they got this trade exception. It's about 2 months away from expiring. So what are some good options? Let me run a couple of these at you, Mike.
Is it approximately $11 million something?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. How about making a run at Anthony Roberson? He's on the Thunder. They are open to rebuilding and trading just about anybody, and he is a pretty dang good wing defender who can shoot the rock.
Yes, I feel like we have a guy in Dorian Finney-Smith who's very similar. So I don't mind it for free. When I say for free, is you're not even giving anything up on your team to add another guy that can be part of your rotation. So I'm not opposed to that. I feel like Dorian Finney-Smith is similar to that player.
Okay, how about Marcus Morris of the Knicks?
I would like that quite a bit.
Is there a conflict or redundancy with Porzingis? Would he?
Well, I feel like he's a little bit more physical.
Yeah.
And you would have Porzingis as your five, and then Morris would then take a lot of Dwight Powell / Kleba minutes.
Yeah.
So now Dwight Powell and Kleba are just backing up those two guys.
Man.
So I would like that much more than I would like Robertson from Oak City.
Got some bigs that can shoot. Holy cow. We got
shooters. Is there any chance that whenever you make some sort of change, because you're talking about, hey, less Powell and less Kleba, that it's like a Rondo, where it's like, now don't get me wrong, Rondo ruined it because he was Rondo, but you had, I believe at that time, the most efficient offense in the NBA.
You got to be careful.
They altered it, and all of a sudden it was like, well, something doesn't work right.
Chemistry is more important with basketball teams in that way. You got to be much more careful than any other sport, I think. And then Etuan Moore is a defender and three-point shooter. He's fallen out of the rotation in New Orleans, and you might be able to get him on the cheap.
I mean, you could definitely get him cheap. New Orleans is not good. And if he's not in their rotation, then I'm not really crazy about adding a person who's on one of the 10 worst teams in the NBA that can't play on their team, saying he can come here and help.
Yeah, you know, every team has different issues. Yeah. The Mavs are so good offensively, they need some guys who can cover when you're up against, you know, the matchups. And I trust Rick and Donnie. If they look on film and they say, wow, we could use this a couple of times a week for 12 minutes, I want that guy.
The way I'll finish this off to get to G-Bag of the Day is go to radio.com if you get a chance at some point and go listen to KNC Masterpiece's interview with Rick Bucher. I think that's his name,
cool.
Right?
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. Rick Bucher, he's great.
Yeah, he was
long-time
on today,
insider.
And he talked quite a bit about the Mavericks with KNC Masterpiece.
All right, we are live at Chill in Louisville. Back again. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day, the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. Play them all, vote on which one we like the best, and that is the G-Bag of the Day. Okay, and Lucius, who is our champion?
How's my mic sound? I don't want to sound too loud. It makes me sound mean, and I feel marvelous.
You sound blessed.
Okay.
You sound perfect, yeah.
Hey, cool.
Good volume.
All right, our earphones,
yeah. Our headphones.
All right. So let's go to my man John, the caller John. He's still on his streak, his winning streak here. What is this? How many days is this? Because I forget.
He's looking for four.
Oh, wow.
Looking for four.
All right, here we go, John.
That time goes. John the caller.
Here's John in Fort Worth.
Hey, John.
Where are you headed?
Hey, guys.
You're on.
You get to talk on the radio now.
John?
Do you like Mike Lynn?
I want Jason Garrett to tell us two coaching functions that he does during a game, and clapping and moving his microphone to spit don't count. And the most ridiculous thing is holding up one finger after we score a touchdown. But my 7-year-old grandson knows we're
going to
kick an extra point.
Well, now, when
John, you're one of my favorite callers. Do you like how I do radio, John?
Do you like how I do radio?
Bassick is one of the only guys up there that speaks the truth in love.
Stop gassing him, bro. Oh, stop putting that battery on his back. Don't gas this man like
Mike's
that.
Mike's running around saying Washington's the best team in the NFC East, and he's the one telling the truth, huh? That's what we got out here?
Yes.
Jason Garrett can't talk. He can't diagram a play.
Right. Garrett can't break down a football play.
Have I not
play.
Said this whole week he's not educated enough to do this?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Great stuff there from John
not
and Mike.
Educated enough.
He's educated at Princeton, not in football.
Yeah. Probably tell you all about
Yeah, he'll give us some book to read that we tried reading. We're like, this is impossible to read. And Garrett's like, that's right. That's why you guys are stupid.
He played in the NFL.
Yeah.
Played the sport.
I saw him play. They snapped the ball, and he just threw it far and high to Michael Irvin.
Didn't he get an MVP of a game one time?
Yeah, he got the turkey leg.
Thanksgiving.
The turkey
he just
leg.
Threw the ball high and as far as he could,
his name.
And the good players went and caught it for him.
Who's challenging the caller, John, today?
All right, so I wanted to play this yesterday because, you know, the timeliness. So we pushed it another day, and it's okay. It's still a good heated confrontation, which we all like. This is after the Patriots and Chiefs fight, the battle. Shannon and Skip had their own fight, battle, and here it goes.
Your offense isn't very good, Skip.
It's not mine.
Yeah, it's yours. No.
I'm not a Patriot.
No. You're Tom Brady. Mm. So if you're Tom Brady, you root for the Patriots because you picked them. Mm. So I'm not going to let you off the hook.
Skip, look. Let me jump on the hook right now because I'm really getting bored over
it. Go ahead.
You ready?
Go ahead. Because you cut me off every time. Will you please
stop? Talked for 8 minutes.
Skip, can you do me a
Lord
favor?
Hold on. You keep asking
questions that I can't
answer.
Can you do me a favor?
Okay, go ahead.
Is that when I'm starting talking, you lose. You do this every time. When the Cowboys lose, the Patriots lose. I'm bored. I don't be disrespectful and do you like that.
Okay,
go ahead and talk.
No,
finish. No, I'm done. No, go ahead.
Go ahead, talk, Skip.
Because all you do is every time you lose, you're such a sore loser.
Oh, I'm not
Give
a
me
sore
my
loser.
Opportunity to speak.
I just want to talk about what really happened in the football game.
Hold on, Jimmy asked me.
Okay.
That's what I saw to happen.
Then finish.
No, I'm
good.
You go ahead.
I'm good.
Go ahead. You go.
Somebody's going to pout.
No, I'm not going to pout, but I'm just saying every
okay,
time.
Okay, my turn. My turn. The Patriots obviously would have won that football game if that referee had made that call that was right in front of his two eyes.
Wow. Skip got hot there.
I was confused. Skip kept saying, "Let me talk," and then he would give him the. And then he's like, "No, you talk. You're whining."
They both sounded very confused about if they wanted to talk or not.
Yeah. And the morning debate shows, I haven't watched them very often for years because my schedule didn't match up for it.
Oh, but no. Now, are you watching them?
Well, I'll put the TV on. I'm not really watching them. It's kind of on in the background when it goes from one show to another.
It's wallpaper.
They have a late morning replay. Yeah.
No, watch Good Morning Football and then SportsCenter.
I'm shocked at how often it devolves. Like, remember the Mike Dingus, Roy White baseball fight?
Yeah.
Like, it devolves quite frequently to that, you know?
Fucking Rangers baseball in the home of the Rangers.
That's a memorable moment, man.
Credibility.
Pretty memorable, yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to make
any
those.
Other challengers?
Let's see. Yeah, we have one real quick. Everybody know about the Le'Veon Bell bowling with the flu situation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeffrey, can you help just explain it real quick?
Flu game.
So he wasn't going to play in in the game, and he was recovering from the flu. So I believe on the day of the game, he went bowling.
At 1 a.m.
And should I tell his score, or is that part of this?
It's part of this, but you should go look it up on Twitter if you haven't seen it. My man is really good at the bowling thing, like Fred Flintstone good, Twinkle Toes. They asked him about it. Here's what he said.
Oh, yeah, I am, for real. The bigger surprise, I rolled 251 off the flu. That's the bigger surprise.
Is that
career high.
Game?
That's my career high. 251.
What
off
was
the sickness.
Before that?
238.
238.
Yeah.
He's doing trick shots and everything.
I love how it's not even bothered him.
Too sick to play, not too sick to go roll 251, though.
Yeah. Oh, the media's here to ask me tough questions about it. We'll check this out. I love that. And the Twinkle Toes reference from Lucius for extra credit. Is it Le'Veon Bell, Mr. Twinkle Toes himself? Is it John the Caller? Is it the heated confrontation with Patriots and Chiefs going on? Shannon and Skip.
It's one of the greatest calls we ever had. It's John.
Okay, Mike.
I think Mike just wants to hear himself on there, and he's getting complimented on that joint.
Yep.
That's why he keeps playing it over and over again so we can finish his brand strong for the week.
Lucius, check mark.
What?
I don't know. He spit all over the mic when you said that. You're going to get electrocuted, cuz.
Lucius.
Hey, why don't you pick the person who can't even use a fork? What did your mom do when you were a kid? Did she not teach you how to use utensils?
Speaking of devolving.
No, you know what? Why don't you talk? You talk.
I tell you what.
No, you want to always talk. Just you talk.
What did your mom
do? Now let me tell you this, because now it's my turn.
Miss Kavanaugh.
No, I don't want to talk. You talk.
What happened?
I'm voting for Caller John because it started so bad with him getting out of the car and having no idea what was going on, but it ended up great.
Did you vote Lucius?
Yeah, I did John, I think. If I didn't, that's what I'm voting for.
Now you did, though.
Okay.
Yep.
My vote is inconsequential. But anyway, by a score of 3-1, mine goes to Le'Veon Bell. And still, G-Bag of the Day champion, it's John the Caller in Fort Worth. Tune in tomorrow at 2:30 as he looks for 5 G-Bag Nation immortality and a spot in the 2019 G-Bag of the Year. Wow, that's special. Feel the tension build. Okay, when we come back, Mike, what are we going to be talking about?
Let's talk to former relief pitcher Mike Adams on the Texas Rangers.
Okay, thank you, Lucius, and welcome back. G-Bag Nation, we're rocking out here today at Chill in Louisville. They're ready for the holidays. Yeah, they got a beautiful Christmas tree in here, and if you're looking for a place to hang out after work, we'll be here all the way until 7 o'clock. I heard Gronk likes to hang out at these chill spots.
Yeah, you can. If you type in Chill and Rob Gronkowski, you can see him dancing at a Chill.
Partying it up. Salute to the Tolo Nancy. She had some homemade rum cakes, injected them with butter and all kinds of greatness, and she just stopped by and handed them out to us, and we salute you, Nancy. Thank you very much. Here's Mike.
Okay, so we might have Mike Adams, former Texas Rangers relief pitcher, joining us. We've been doing a video podcast with Jared Sandler every other week talking Rangers baseball and Major League Baseball, and I think we have Mike Adams on the line. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, fellas?
Well, I wanted to get your opinion on some of these Major League Baseball things, and maybe I know you're a big Cowboy fan, so maybe at the end we'll ask you a Cowboy question or two. What do you think of the Nomar Mazara trade?
Well, I mean, obviously the Rangers know him best, you know, and, you know, I think they obviously felt that they've gotten the most they could get out of him, and he just didn't fit their needs anymore. You know, and they need to open up some spots out in the outfield, and you know, I guess getting Steele Walker, you know, obviously he's just a young prospect, but you know, we'll see how this trade pans out.
Mazar looked to have so much potential when he first came up. Mike, what was it ultimately that prevented him from becoming the player that we hoped he would?
You know, that I don't know. I mean, it's so hard with baseball, just because, you know, it's truly a year-to-year type thing, you know, and he just never fully reached his potential. And you know, and with his limitations on the field and everything, you know, with lack of speed, you know, I guess they figured, you know, he just hit his ceiling with them at the plate. And, you know, I mean, with the, you know, the overload of lefties in the lineup, they need to get rid of somebody. And, you know, he just happened to be the odd man out.
Mike, they do this so they can have Willie Calhoun be part of the everyday lineup. When you watch Willie Calhoun play, do you see an everyday player that can bat in the middle of the lineup as that's pretty much the hope of the Rangers making this trade?
At the plate, definitely. I mean, Willie, you know, he seemed to really know what he, you know, what his approach is. You know, the bat seems to be pretty good. You know, there's still a question defensively. You know, where, you know, what type of defensive player he can be. But I do feel that, you know, Willie's good enough that, you know, he can be somewhere in the middle of the lineup and have that production to really help the lineup and hopefully provide protection to you know, the guys behind him. You know, we're still waiting to see what's going to happen with the third base situation with Rendon. But yeah, as far as Willie's concerned, I mean, I do feel that he is, I personally think that yes, he's a guy that can make an impact in the Rangers lineup.
Do you feel like, since you brought up Anthony Rendon, do you have any type of feel about Anthony Rendon and possibly being a Texas Ranger?
Oh man, no. I mean, we talked about this yesterday, and you know, it still seems far fetched. You know, with a guy that's looking for, you know, $32 million or so. You know, as I talked to you yesterday, I'm not really ready to make that type of commitment to somebody yet, just because there are other needs that the Rangers, you know, other positions the Rangers need to take that step forward. You know, now if we were, you know, a player or two away from being that major contender, I would be all about, you know, getting Anthony Rendon to basically finish up the lineup. Not to say that if we got him, that it would be a bad thing. I mean, obviously, he'd be a huge upgrade to this lineup. I mean, he instantly become the best player on the team. But, you know, I reached out to somebody in the organization a little earlier to try to get a feel what they thought. And, you know, I got crickets back. So hopefully they're busy working on that deal for him.
When it comes to yesterday's big news and Gerrit Cole leaving the Houston Astros, going to the New York Yankees for the greatest contract ever for a pitcher in Major League Baseball history, I want to concentrate on the Astros because that's competition to the Rangers and possibly making the playoffs over the next few years. How big of a hit does this take to the Houston Astros?
Well, it's going to take at least probably 20 wins away from maybe. You know, but luckily he's not an everyday player, so it's you know, I still think the Astros are strong enough through the lineup and through the pitching staff that it's not. I mean, yes, it's gonna hurt their team, but it's not gonna. You know, they still have Verlander, Greinke. You know,
and McCullers back, right?
Yeah, they possibly get McCullers back off injury from last year, but you know, you never know what's gonna happen with that one because you know, coming off an injury, missing a full year. You know, they're going to have to try to take it easy with them a little bit. And you know, the whole saying, we got to limit the innings after Tommy John surgery, whatever. You know, so if they make a deep playoff run, how do they handle that? But now, you know, the question is, where do they turn their attention? You know, there's still some pretty good pitchers out on the market. You know, obviously, it's not Gerrit Cole, you know, the best pitcher in baseball. But, you know, you still have Bumgarner, you have Ryu, you have Ordozy and Keuchel possibly. You know, it could be a little reunion for them. But, you know, their lineup, so it's still the same lineup. You know, the question is, you know, it's always about health. And you know, can they stay healthy long, you know, throughout the season to maintain that power in the AL West? So, you know, and then you never know what's going to happen with Correa. I mean, they could possibly move Correa or they stick with him and hope that they get the Correa from a few years ago.
It's former Ranger Mike Adams with us right here on 105.3 The Fan. With the Rangers' rotation last year, a lot of times it felt like they weren't capable of fielding five guys to give you a realistic chance to win every day out. Do you feel like they've done enough for the rotation where you're at least at that point?
I think they've made huge upgrades to the rotation. You know, I mean, you have Minor and Lynn, you know, who were two very solid pitchers for the Rangers last season. And now you know, like y'all said, you know, after that it was, what do we have now? Are we, you know, do we even have a chance to win tonight? You know, what's going on? But I think with adding Gibson and Lyles, you know, especially Gibson, you know, a guy that goes out there and eats innings, you know, I feel like now you at least have a chance to be in ball games again. And then with the fifth starter, you know, you hand it over to one of the young lefties and, you know, let them compete and let the best man, you know, take that job. And, you know, but comparing the rotation right now, as of right now today, compared to last season, I mean, I think you've made major upgrades to that rotation.
Now, Mike, I'm going to switch with you because I know you're a huge Dallas Cowboy fan, following you on Twitter and talking to you. I'll just give you a general question. What are your thoughts on this 2019 Dallas Cowboys team?
A huge disappointment, man. I mean, we you know, coming into the season, we thought we were legitimate Super Bowl contenders. And this after all the hype going into the season and after the first three games, I mean, this has to be one of the, if not the most disappointing seasons that we've had in a long time. You know, just because of the hype.
Yeah. You know, Mike, you played on a whole bunch of different teams, successful teams and teams that failed and struggled. When you watch the Dallas Cowboys, and I say they have sleepwalked through this season, and I played on a team like that in the Mets in 2002. Can you recall a team that you played for that you felt like was really talented but never really focused or caught that momentum they needed to catch to have a good season?
Yeah, so my first year with the Phillies in 2013 – you know, I left the Rangers, we had a lot of, you know, veteran guys, super talented, former All-Stars, but we just never meshed together. And, you know, we had a lot of guys that, you know, there was a lot of egos on that team. And I think a lot of times the egos got in the way of the greater good of the team. And, you know, when you have stuff like that, you know, chemistry plays a huge role in sports, as you know. And, you know, if everybody's not working, you know, together to for the ultimate goal, it's going to be a long season, and that's exactly what's happened with the Cowboys. And you know, as we've seen throughout the season, it continues to deteriorate. So I don't know, man. We'll see how these last few games go. You know, my hopes ain't up too high, but we'll see.
Expectations are the beginning of suffering, Mike. Be careful out there with these Cowboys.
and that seems to be the theme every single year. You know, we get our expectations up and only to be crushed.
Yes, sir. Well, it's always good to hear from you. It's never crushing, and we look forward to the next time, bud. Have a good one.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
There he goes.
Expectations are our fault. Our bad. Thought they were good.
Don't worry. I'll keep them really low next year.
Yeah, you say that now.
I don't think anybody needs
Gavin's any help. The one who talks me into it.
I know, but you'll get talked into it again.
I don't know if I can do it. Well, I can.
You're going to do it. They're going to have a new coach.
Our first in-depth look at what the Rams are bringing to the party Sunday at 3:25 at AT&T Stadium. We're live at Chill in Louisville. Come on by for some after work. Just cut out of work early. It's the holidays. And we'll see you soon here on 105 Through the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.